Our speaker this morning, Pastor Chuck Maness, has served the Lord for over 50 years in the ministry, with his dear wife now gone home to be with the Lord. God has opened up a great door through the Afflicted Bible Mission Ministry. We're not taking for granted that all of you know about that great ministry that God has raised up. So therefore, Brother Maness is going to come and introduce you anew and afresh, perhaps, or for the first time, regarding the ministry that God has opened up. Take your Bibles and be prepared to receive a blessing. God has something for you this morning. I trust your hearts are prepared to receive it. Pastor Chuck, come on, share.
Dobro utro. Kotnila, Savoynia. Now, you're supposed to say back to me, Ochin Hedeshaw. So what'd you say? I said, good morning, how are you today? And you say, very good. Now, if you're Ukrainian, you say, Duzhi Dobro. Now, I taught you two words before. Does anybody remember? If I say, praise the Lord, what are you supposed to say in Russian? Slava Boga, or Slava Bogu. Let's work on that. Somebody kind of forgot. Slava Bogu.
Slava Bogu.
Slava Bogu. That's good. Now remember that. If you see a Russian out somewhere, Ukrainian, anyone from the old Soviet Empire, they all know Russian. And they'll light up like a Christmas tree. And they'll think, you're really smart. I want to be your friend. But that's good. First of all, let me say, I just want to take this opportunity to thank our pastor for letting me come today and share things of our ministry in Ukraine. I'd like to personally thank each one of you folks that have been praying for us these last 2 years. And especially those who have sent cards and letters and flowers and this sort of thing during my wife's homegoing. It's been a very trying situation in the last few months. She's been battling this cancer deal for about 6 years. We thought we had it licked, and then it came back in her lungs. Statistics tells us that about 4 out of 6 women will get lung cancer before they die. Actually, today, the number one killer among women. Why? They don't know. They haven't figured it out yet. They blame it on 2 or 3 things, but it's just seemingly the way it is. My wife never smoked a cigarette or a cigar in her life or chewed a hunk of tobacco. But her daddy was an avid smoker, one after the other. Smoked cigars a while, smoked cigarettes. I used to go in her home years ago, and I'd have to fan the smoke and say, let's get out of here. And so for about 19, 21 years, she breathed smoke day in and day out. Cancer attacks you at your weakest point. We feel that this is one of the reasons that she had contracted lung cancer. This past year, she wasn't able to go to Ukraine with me. She just didn't feel right. So the time I got home in September, I noticed that she wasn't doing very well at all. And so with all of her tests and back to our doctor and so forth, we decided to try a different hospital, a different program, special clinic in Mexico. So we went twice there, and they do different things that are not allowed in America. We felt that this might be a help, but I think if we'd have gone 4 years ago, we might have been able to have much more progress. But she was just really too far gone. The time we got back the last time from Mexico, one of her lungs had completely shut down, and the other one was just, it was just so hard. And the last test she had showed problems. And so, if I can describe a little bit what happened here so we know the situation. She was at home, and the doctor said, I think you've got some fluid on your lung. And so they went into her lung, and he couldn't get the big needle in. Her right lung had become hard as a stone, just like a rock. And so he went into the other side and draw out all kinds of mess. And he just shook his head. And of course, she knew that time was short. And she gathered all the kids together. We have 6 children and 40 grandchildren. They were all there. And it's amazing. We never heard her do this. She gathered each one of the kids and grandkids individually. And her mind was still sharp. And she all told them about the Lord and what to do and what not to do. And she'd tell this husband, said, "Now you take care of your wife and watch over the kids." And she'd preach to all of them for 2 days. And of course, they all bawled. We've got all this on video. We videoed 3 straight days of everything. And it's amazing. So this was Saturday night, matter of fact, the week before Christmas. And so I said, "Honey," I said, "now you can't die tomorrow." She said, "How come?" I said, "Well, tomorrow's Sunday. We ain't got time to fool around with you dying on Sunday. You'll have to wait till Monday." You think, "You're probably, this guy's crazy." But we're all busy serving the Lord and preaching and singing and bus ministry. And, we don't have time to wait around for somebody to die. It's just that way it is. And so she said, "Well, whatever the Lord wills." And so she was in the bed. She couldn't get out, of course. And some of her grandkids stayed with her while we have the services and so forth. And along that afternoon, everybody gathered around my house, all 50 of us, and we was all praying and asking the Lord to touch her body and heal her if it's His will. And if it's not, then we're ready for her to go to heaven. So Monday morning, she's still around. And so, "Well, let's pray some more." So we gathered around her and we was praying and asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, now, if you're not going to heal her completely, I don't want no halfway healing, either all or none, then please relieve her and take her to glory." As soon as we said amen, I looked up there and I said, "Kids, look, she's gone to heaven to be with Jesus. Gone to heaven to be with Jesus." Just quit breathing. Just so simple, so nice. And so God was good to us. And then, of course, we had our funeral on Wednesday night prayer meeting. And I preached for an hour and a half. He said, "You pray?" "Oh, sure. Got all these folks here. You might as well let them have it. 600 and some. The folks coming in from everywhere. And all my kids preached. All my grandkids preached. 3-hour service. So we just had a grand time. Singing the songs. And well, it's home going. She would have enjoyed it. And she did. Just a tremendous time. A blessing time. And God was good to us. And I appreciate your prayers. The week I left to come down to Florida, which was the second week of January, I preached for our church there. Came on down. I've preached almost every service since I left Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, and different places. And God's been good to us. And I was preaching there at our home church. And folks always want to come out and ask you, "Well, how you doing? How's things going?" And this sort of thing. I said, "Well, you want to be honest?" "Yeah. I'm doing terrible. I ain't gonna lie to you. No, oh, I'm fine, fine. Quit your lying. Just tell it like it is. My helpmate of 49 and a half years is no longer around. Now, if I'm busy serving the Lord with people, I'm okay. But when I go home, everything's quiet. Nobody to fuss with. Nobody to argue with." And I tell you, you'd be surprised how that affects you. It's a blessing to have somebody to talk to. And to be there, nobody cook for me. It's terrible. Here I get up in the morning, and I got to do my breakfast and dishes and clean house. By the time I get through, I'm 10 o'clock. I'm wore out. You fellas ought to appreciate your wife. Amen? And then by the time I get through, I get to think, "Well, I got to fix dinner. My goodness." Now I eat about 2 or 3 o'clock, so I got to figure out, what am I going to do? Is it a bowl of soup? Or what else do I going to fix? A sandwich or something? And by the time I get through there, it's 5 o'clock at night. Whew. I haven't got a thing done the rest of the day, brother. You women laugh at that, but you men, you have a helpmeet. And so I was preaching, and I said, "Now, don't y'all get any ideas." I said, "We've had 2 of our ladies that lost their husbands this last year." And I said, "Listen, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not interested in some old woman. I'm looking for somebody between 20 and 40. Nothing over 40. I don't want to have to go through this again." I said, "Well, preacher, how long do you think you're going to live?" "Well, I was just reading the other day in the Bible. Abraham married again when he was 137. I still got a few years to go, you know. My daughter sitting over here and she said, no, 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 no. She was mad at me. I said, what are you mad at me for? But anyway, you know, serving the Lord is the most wonderful thing on earth. And I'm so glad that God chose me years ago and that I listened to Him. 1955 in Okinawa, I gave my heart to Jesus. Amen. Nothing's been the same since. It's all been different. God called me to preach about a month later. And I've been pastoring. We started a church in Columbus, Ohio, High Street Baptist Church, 38 years ago. And God's been so good to us down through the years. And the Sunday I left, we had 388 adults. We didn't run any buses. We run them on Saturday, another 200 on Saturday. So they got the whole auditorium tore up. And I told my son, I said, it took me 4 years to build this auditorium, and you guys tore it up in one day. So they're remodeling everything, putting a big balcony in, all this kind of thing. See another 100 to 150 folks. So God has been good to us there. In 1992, I first went to Ukraine. We saw such great need in Ukraine. We were there 6 days and had over 15,000 conversions in 6 days. You say, well, that's impossible. No. We had one ladies' meeting, all ladies, 4,000 women. And just about all of them got saved. We have another one. We rented a 15,000 or 20,000 seat big sports arena. There were so many that got saved out of that, we really couldn't count them all. But we know how many seats was there. And so it's just amazing. We won several to the Lord, personally, that we knew of, and we're still in contact with them. And so we saw such great need in this country of Ukraine that came out of communism that we've just been going back every year. I've been back 11 times. 3 years ago, God spoke to my heart after I let my oldest son take over our church in Columbus, Ohio. And said, Lord, what would you have me do? Now, I was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 10. It says, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and the afflicted, God's going to bless you. And on my card, we have some prayer cards out here. It's just like the verse of Scripture just stood right out. Afflicted. That's the ones I've been dealing with the orphanages. All the children there in the old Soviet Union. Millions. I'm not talking about thousands. I'm talking about millions of children affected because of alcohol, drugs, Chernobyl blast 20 years ago, just all types of things. So we're in a region called Zhytomyr region. In Ukraine, there's 24 different regions, or like we have states here, they're called regions there. We're just in one. And there's over 29 orphanages that we know of. We've been able to work with 11. That's all we found so far. Last year we found two more, last summer, when I was there. We have over 1,250 children now that we're working with. Just doing a tremendous job. We have a team of 7 full-time workers there. Just last summer we were able to put another young man, preacher boy, on staff full-time, doing a tremendous job. And God has been so good to us in the last 3 years. Just one blessing after the other. Now, we communicate with our children every day almost, or every other day by email. And then we call on the telephone every so often. We appreciate the call that you folks made last year. I told them what was going to happen, and I said, y'all come to the office. And they were all scared to death they were going to have to talk to an American. Well, they can talk a little bit, some of them more, some of them less. That was really a highlight of our staff there that were able to talk. And I told them, now, this is on a Sunday morning. All of the folks in church are going to hear you. Oh. But they really enjoyed it because they know someone here in America is behind them and praying for them. Amen. And they pray for you folks. And when they pray, they pray. When a communist gets saved, it is a miracle. You see, under communism, they don't believe in God. There's no God. Nit God. Nit bug. That's what they say. But when they realize that there is a Jesus, there is a God, there is somebody that died on a cross for your sins so you don't have to burn in hell. And when they finally realize that and accept the Lord and become a Christian, they pray. You see, They don't call their places they meet churches. They call them prayer houses. I think Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. So they call them prayer houses. And when they get together, they pray. I mean sometimes hours, sometimes all day, sometimes all night. Many a time, Allah will gather all the women together, most of the men. They don't pray together a lot of times. They'll pray separately. Women will pray, and all the men will pray. And they'll pray all night many times and ask God for deliverance and ask God for victory. And it puts Americans to shame the way the Ukrainians pray. When we sit down at the table, if we're in a family's home or if we're in a restaurant, before any of the meal is provided, they all stand up and pray. They sit down and eat. Before anybody leaves the table, they all stand up and they pray again. It's really a beautiful thing. See, for 80 years, nobody ever heard the name God. Nobody ever heard about Jesus. Nobody had a Bible. Can you imagine yourself, all of your life, never seeing the blessed book? Never being able to read the Word of God? In America, you can turn the radio stations on here, and you can get a half a dozen Christian radio stations, maybe more. You can go turn the boob tube on and put up all kinds of so-called Christian radio stations. Well, they're talking about God in some degree. You may not agree with all, but they're talking about God. Over there, nit. No God, no Christian, anything. Can you imagine living in a country like that? I can't. I grew up in the hills of North Carolina. I can never in my life remember Sunday coming and me not being in the house of God. Never. For a good record. I can never be in on Sunday night being in the house of God. Now, when I was a young boy, the Methodist church I grew up in stopped Wednesday night. So I can remember a lot of Wednesday nights we didn't have church. But they still had on Sunday morning and Sunday night. All my children grew up and all my grandkids growing up, they can never remember not being in the house of God. All my kids, six kids serving the Lord. All my grandkids are serving the Lord. All my grandkids are running bus routes, teaching Sunday school class, either in Bible college or preaching now. I got 40 grandkids. We had 47, 40 still living. And God has been good to us. It's amazing when I preached one of the big churches in Russia a few years ago. I told them about my family. And they all stood up and bowed to me. Scared me. I said, well, what are they doing? Oh, he said, you don't understand. You are a very wealthy man. I said, they got the wrong idea. With all them grandkids, I'm as poor as Job's turkey. But that's just, you know, the average family only has 1.2. I hadn't figured out how they chopped that one up, you know, maybe two legs or two arms or something, but that's the average. Under communism, very, very few children. All last summer, I was there for 3 months. We started a new church called Charity Bible Baptist Church last year, 2 years ago. I preached every Sunday, and I preached on the family. You see, they don't have families like we have families. Thank God we had one new family get saved, and they brought a couple other families and got saved. But they just don't have. And what does the man do? Well, all they see, they're all drunks. All Russian men are drunks. And the women run everything. Well, when I started preaching on the woman's responsibility at home, oh boy, that was a new one. You mean, me? Obey him? He's supposed to obey me? Everything's backwards. See, under communism, everything's backwards. It's upside down. I mean that literally. I bought a Lada a few years ago. You know what a Lada is? It's a little Russian car. Lada, L-A-D-A, Lada. They've made them for years. Everything's backwards in it. The key's on the wrong side. Gear shift's on the wrong side. You roll the door down backwards, or the window. I mean, everything is just crazy. And it takes you so long to adapt yourself to everything's backwards. Yeah, it's unreal. And so it's been quite an adjustment to me when I go over. I'm kind of getting used to doing everything backwards now. But just some of the things that goes on. But God has been good to us with all the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us and the orphanages that we have. In the new orphanage, let me tell you about this last summer. I said to my team, I said, now, we know these orphanages are here. Let's see if we can find them. Well, you see, it's altogether different. Say I move into Orlando. I'm changing from up north, down south. And so, generally, the first thing you do when you move into an area, you get a phone book. And you look up, well, where's this at and where's this at and whose names are here, and all about this. And you're like, where's the church at, you know, and where's the post office, and where's the fire department, or where do you go to do this? That's normal. But you see, when you go to Russia, there's no phone book. Well, where is this at? I don't know. And if you ask somebody, they don't know. They don't even know their next-door neighbor because nobody talks. Everything's done in secret. You see, under communism, they used to go up to all the flats and the communist Gestapo or the KGB, and they had these listening devices. And they'd put it up against the door, and they'd listen to everything everybody said on the inside. And then they'd bust the door down, and they'd take the people off the prison. Because if they said anything derogatory about the government or about anything else, see, it was a spy system. So now everybody got wind of that, and so they have two great big double doors in all of the flats, and they're all padded and insulated so that the listening devices don't work. They can't hear. And so nobody says anything to nobody else. Nobody knows their neighbors. It's a secret. Nobody speaks to you on the street. I'm American. I walk down the street, and I say, Privet. They look at me, and they keep on walking. Privet is hi. Or I say, Strasvitcha. That's hello. That's a little more. And they look at you. And, you know, you just don't do that. So you go up the street, pass out a tract, and give them a gospel tract, start witnessing to them. That's a no-no. So we have to teach a new concept to our people. For instance, first time I preached there, there was over 600 in this big church. And see, if you go back, some of you older folks know what I'm talking about, you go back and look at your grandparents' pictures. And some of you have got some of them, you go back home when you think about that. And you'll notice the grandparents' pictures. The meaner they looked, the better they liked it. Is that right? That's Russia. If they smiled, it shows weakness. So, nobody ever smiles, and nobody's ever happy. Because you say, what have they got to be happy for? Well, under communism, there's not much to be happy. And you see, communism has almost taken over America, and there's not much to be happy for in America anymore. I'm preaching this thing, and I said, man, look, these people look like they're about ready to go out in eternity in hell. And so, So I tried to say something to make them laugh. Couldn't get through to them. So what am I going to do? I had to do something. And finally got a few of them real close. And they'll put it back in. Now I've got to teach my Christians we have something to be happy for. Amen? And that's that we're going to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's something to be joyous and happy. And so a child of God today ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. Amen? So I got to teach this to Russians. And now my new church, they're catching on. They'll come and they'll smile. And of course, we don't do much handshaking in Russia. They hug and kiss. Yeah, the men kiss the men, and the men kiss the women. Everybody kisses. Now that was something new for me. I had to learn how to kiss. And they kiss you right on the smacker. Yes, yes they do. And first time my wife went over, she didn't know what to do with that one. But it's a different culture, it's a different concept. And so we're teaching them how to be friendly and nice, teaching the Bible. And so the family, I told about the family. What's the husband's relationship to the wife and the children and how he's supposed to act. And all through the Bible, I spent 3 weeks on the man, 3 weeks on the woman, and then about 3 weeks on children and the general concept. And so this was all new to them. And so we have to teach and start all over. And so we go out to these orphanages. All of Exana and our team, we have puppets that we do, and they'll teach flannelgraph. And we win a lot of children to Jesus. And then we gather up all the staff. And there'll be a half a dozen, maybe more. And we'll preach to them and witness to them for maybe sometime an hour at a time. And a lot of those have been saved. And so now we say, well, but there's no churches. What are we going to do? How do we train them? How do we teach them about the Bible and so forth? And so now we're beginning to start churches. We've already started 3 churches in different villages so that we can train the people and they can hear more. You see, they get saved and nobody ever comes around. Many of the villages we go into, they get saved. They say, oh, you can't leave. You've got to stay and help us learn about God's Word. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. Nobody here. We found over 15,000 villages of 5,000 to 10,000 people. They have no church whatsoever. I mean zero. No Catholic, no Orthodox, no Baptist, no church. Over 15,000 villages. Would you live in a place with no church? I say to my preacher boys when they find churches, so I said, why mess around in America with a church on every corner? And you say, I want to go start another one. What's wrong with the rest of the world? Here's a place. It's wide open. You don't have to worry about going down and getting a permit to preach. You don't have to get a license to do this or that license to do this. You just go do it. We've got more freedom in Ukraine than we have in America to preach the Bible. Isn't that sad? And yet Ukraine's a heathen nation and America is a Christian nation. You say, something is wrong with this picture. Yes, indeed. Something is wrong with America. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
You see, we're going downhill so quickly, so fast. We've kicked God out back in 1962 by Supreme Court decision. The kids can't carry the Bibles to the schools anymore. They don't talk about God anymore in the school. I remember when I went to school, some of you folks remember, every morning at 8 o'clock, we would have 30 minutes of Bible and prayer time in a public school. Every day at 10 o'clock, a visiting preacher would come in from the community and have what we call chapel service. Y'all ever heard those things? I grew up in a public school hearing the Word of God every day. And then on Sunday, I always went to the Methodist church and we heard it on Sunday. So what am I supposed to do? All I know is the Bible. You see, when we've eliminated God out of our public life, what do we got left? Zero. God laid the burden on my heart to go to Ukraine and establish a God-fearing ministry there through the local church, through our evangelization, that they'll have the same opportunity there as we have here in America. I believe God said in Acts 1:8, you remember that verse? Let's turn there just a minute. And our time is swiftly, 30 seconds is not too long to preach or to give out the Word of God in 30 minutes. But Acts 1:8, look at this for just a moment. If you don't know this verse by heart, I encourage you to memorize it, okay? Notice what it says. Jesus gathered the disciples together. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth. If you're saved today, God has given you what's called the Great Commission, or our marching orders. We have a tremendous job. This lady gave her testimony this morning, going out 60 miles and telling somebody about Jesus. Did you know something? That's obeying the Lord. That's obedience. All of us ought to obey the Lord. Wherever we're here, locally, or in the surrounding areas, or to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I believe that we ought to be involved in all three. And there's a lot of, you know, we can preach for hours on this. You ought to be involved locally in telling your neighbors and friends about Jesus. Amen? We ought to be involved in the state of Florida telling folks about Jesus in America. But what about the rest of the world? Well, I can't go over there. No, but you can help somebody else go. You can be a part of somebody else's ministry going to the other part of the world. That's what missions is all about. Amen? And so we encourage you to get involved in all three areas, not just one. Somebody say, well, I'll help missions, but I won't do it here. No. Get you some gospel tracts and carry them here with you and give them out. This is a Russian tract. This is an American tract. I carry different kinds. I carry Spanish tracts with me, Russian tracts with me, and American tracts. I don't have any Chinese yet. Working on some other languages too. Carry them with you and give them out to people. That's presenting the gospel. And maybe you'll have a chance to witness it to them. Wherever you go, whatever you do, that's part of what this verse says. All the world. Now let me give you two other verses right quickly. And go with me, if you would, please, to the book of James. The book of James. The book of James. There's two verses here I want to share with you. Please turn there so that you can see these verses. James chapter 1. One verse here. The last verse. Verse 27. James 1 and verse 27. I want to challenge you today in this particular verse. Notice what it says. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now the last part of that, we know that we're supposed to not sin. We're supposed to live a clean life and this sort of thing. We're not supposed to drink and cuss and smoke and run around and do all kinds of things that the world does. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We know that. But notice it says, pure religion. And my question to you today is, do you have pure religion? What kind of religion you got? Now, I use that word loosely because the world uses that word religion. I'm talking about religion, pure Christianity. Pure religion is God's way for us to reach Him. Not man's way, but God's way. So, what kind of Christianity do you have? What kind of religion do you have? Is it pure? Then, he gives two things. If you have pure religion, notice, he says to visit the fatherless and widows. Now, we know who the widows are, but who are the fatherless? That's the orphans. I pastored, brother, for 35 years, 6, 7 years. I really didn't think a whole lot about this until I saw the orphans. And I realized, my goodness, look at the millions of kids. In our region alone, 29 different orphanages. We're reaching 1,250, but there's many, many more. Chernobyl blew up. They say there were 11 million affected by the Chernobyl blast. 6 million are still affected. There was a documentation done about 3 weeks ago. Some of you may have saw this documentation. A company from Ireland went in and documented what's going on. Still, many are affected because of radiation. Now, the Lord willing, I'm going to take over this time a Geiger counter so that we can know in our area we live in the Chernobyl region. Maybe some of the food that we have right now is affected. Some of the children are still affected by this. Allah's already had one major surgery because of it. She's be 28 this coming Thursday, and she's only 74 pounds, dripping wet and full of bananas. Just a tiny thing. Her food doesn't affect her at all. And so pray for little Allah. Oksana, her sister, was in an orphanage in another area, wasn't affected, but Allah was up there close to Chernobyl when this thing happened. And so we're asking God for a Geiger counter so that we can take it with us and check out our children where we're at, our food intake, and this sort of thing. And so we can maybe ward off some of the sickness that's going to come down the pike. But remember, to visit the fatherless. Now go to one other verse in chapter 4 of James. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." A lot of you folks are older folks, and you understand what I'm saying, but the younger folks hadn't figured it out yet. Let me tell you something. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. Things pass so quickly. It seems like just yesterday, I was still at home in North Carolina as a little boy. Time passes very quickly. Amen?
Amen?
So the Bible is true. Our life is just like a vapor that appeareth for a little time. We're here for just a little time and then, whoop, we're gone. Now remember that, how short life is. Now look at the next verse, verse 15. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Many people have plans. And there's nothing wrong in making plans. But it ought to be God's plans that you make. Now look at that last verse. Verse 16 says, "But now you're rejoicing in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore," verse 17, "to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You believe Acts 1:8? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? How many believe that? Say amen. Okay. The Lord says if you know to do good and don't do it, to him it is sin. Oh. Now, brother, that may be kind of hard on folks. I don't want to step our toes too hard. But listen, folks. We have an awesome job to do before Almighty God takes us to glory. Most folks, and I've met, I don't know, dozens of preachers that have come out of the north. Wintertime, they come south. You know what they do? They get them a nice place, and they get them a boat, and they go out and they fish. Or they tour, and they see this country, or this place and that place. I'm talking about preachers. Hundreds of thousands of Christians come south in the wintertime. What do? Do you ever see them out telling somebody about Jesus? I've been with preachers, brother, and they don't even carry tracts in their pocket. I'm ashamed to be with them. Where in the Bible does it say that we are to retire? Somebody asked me, "Well, preacher, now after you've retired, what are you doing?" I said, "Listen, I'm not retired. I may be retarded, but I'm not retired. I'm still on fire for Jesus, just as much as I was the day that God saved me."
Amen.
There's no retirement in God's business. He's saying that if we know that we ought to do good, and most of us know we ought to do some good, we'll be beside somebody, and we know we ought to tell them about Jesus, but we don't. The Bible says that's sin. Anybody say amen? We know what we ought to do. There's somebody that needs help next door. We never go see them, talk to them, help them. God says that's S-I-N. When I see the rest of the world, I want to do something to help them find Jesus. So we have some goals in mind. Let me tell you what we've got in mind. I've already got 6 people signed up to go with us in May of this year. And last year, last summer when I was in Ukraine, these big apartments are all around in our city of 350,000. We're about 100 miles from Kyiv, the capital city. Zhytomyr is the city's name. And so we see all these children out playing in the playground. Big apartments around. Inside these big apartments, there's a playground for the children. I say to Misha, the pastor of our church, I say, "Look at all them children." I said, "Let's see if we can't reach those kids for Jesus." "Well, we've got a church now. We invite them to church, but they won't come to church." I said, "Well, yeah, I know that. They don't even know what a church is. So we got to go to them." So we take our puppet stage that we go to orphanages with. And I say, "All right, let's put our puppet stage outside on the playground. and let's have services for the children out on the playground. Okay? So we do that. We go rope off about a 25 by 25 foot section, and we take our puppet stage out, we put that in, everybody looks around, what's going on? What's happening out there? We've got a little PA system that we use. Bishop plays the guitar, and we have flannograph, so we set everything up out there, and we make a little card up, the girls do, and they take it around to everybody and say, you're all invited at 7 o'clock tonight, Friday night, and we're going to have a little program for everybody. And so here the kids come, and they sit down on the ground, and they'll sing, and they'll do the puppets, you know, and they'll do the flannograph, and then we'll have an activity time for them. And this goes on for about an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. This was the thing we started this summer. Every Friday night we did this because we was out in the orphanages at the time. But we was limited just to that one area. And I got to thinking, I said, now, there must be 100 of these places in our city. And we're not reaching all these. How are we going to reach them? So I look up and this big old bus goes down the street. I said, that's it. That's it. Look at those windows just fold right down. And I can see our puppets out the windows. And that's it. God, give me an idea. We're going to go over, and we're going to buy an old Russian bus. And we're going to hook up and fix our puppet stage inside the bus where we don't have to set it up and tear it down. It'll be there on a permanent basis. And we can go from apartment complex to apartment, we can do 3 or 4 a day. And then we'll make a little platform that scoots out the side where the steps are. Mission can walk out there. That's his preaching station. My son-in-law's going with us. He's a good mechanic, and we're going to get us one of those old buses, and we're going to set this thing up, and then we can reach not 150, 200 kids. We can reach 1,000 this summer. Will you pray with me about what you're going to call a gospel bus? It'll work. I know it'll work. And we can go from place to place. I'm excited about this. And then God laid on my heart, well, here's 47 million Ukrainians. How in the world am I going to reach 47 million? I got to think about that. I said, well, you know, I'd sure like to have TV. But man, that's expensive. All of the equipment. I need $2-3 million for TV. Well, Lord, maybe my faith's small. But I said, you know, everybody's got a radio. Not everybody's got TV. Only about 3% will ever have a television or an automobile. But everybody's got a radio. And I said, that's it. I want to start a Christian radio station. So I took one whole month and I met with key officials. I met with the officials on how to get this thing going. And of course, over there, you meet with this gentleman. After you talk to him for 2 hours, he said, well, I don't know anything about it. You've got to go talk to this one. So we go to this one. After 2 hours, he said, well, I don't know anything about it. You've got to go talk to this one. And so we've talked to dozens of folks that don't know nothing about it. So I said, phooey. What I'm going to do is just do it myself. So I'm going to go over. We're going to buy the equipment. And we're going to choose. See, there's only one in our whole country. So there's plenty of frequencies. Nothing's there. And so we're going to get us a frequency. And we're going to set up a Christian radio station. Let the chips fall where they will. We finally talked to one guy and said, yeah, just go set one up. Just go do it. I said, that's what we're going to do. So now I'm praying that God will give us a worker, somebody here that knows about the electronics, radio, and can set this station up and get the whole thing going. So I just heard about the convention here in Orlando this week. And so, Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to go to this convention that meets here. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to see if I can find a young man that would be willing to dedicate his life to radio ministry and to reach 47 million Ukrainians for Jesus. You know, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. God has given me a great vision. I just need people that will be willing to help reach people for Jesus Christ. Maybe God's speaking to your heart today. Maybe you'll be that one to help reach in a great way. I was preaching at a preacher's conference the other day and down here in South Florida. And I said, you know, you fellas, this one church had 55 missionaries they support. I asked him, I said, brother, I said, Do you know if your support money is really being used like you want it to be used? He thought a minute. He said, not really. I don't know. I'm trusting them to do a good job. I said, okay. Have you ever been to the mission field and checked and see if there's... No. I said, well, you know, God changed my mind a few years ago. I've been to several mission fields before we started working in Ukraine. And over half of the mission fields I went to, and I went to the missionaries, they wasn't doing anything. We quit supporting them. They was not doing what they said they were doing on paper or through films and all this kind of stuff. And we just quit. Let me tell you something. They are more shysters in the ministry today than you will ever understand. Now, I'm an old man speaking from the truth of the heart. It's just like attorneys. Maybe there's some attorneys here, I don't know. They're called shysters. But there's a lot in the ministry shysters today. You'll read about them in the paper every so often. About, well, this one happened here, this did this, and this did this. I'm going to tell you something. I asked the preachers, I said, what mission board today does this for their missionaries? Every week, I make my team send me their schedule of what they do every day. Every dime they spend, they send me and tell me where they spend their money. I said, now what mission board requires that of their missionaries? I don't know any. I said, I don't either. But you're supporting them and you don't know. You don't know where your money goes. You don't know what they do. I do. I know if they buy a pair of shoes. You say, preacher, you're mean. No. I want to make sure they're doing what is right and what I expect of my missionaries to do. I tell you, you say, I'm hard. Well, I may be hard, but I'm right. Accountability is one thing that's good. Anybody say amen? Very, very important. So, we do this with our missionaries, with our teams. We've got 7 full-time workers. As I said, last year was able to put on a new young man. And so we've been watching him all year. Well, you know what? God spoke to his heart. And so he's gone into 3 of the orphanages now. And they have started a Bible study with the normal children. See, about half our children are normal. The other half are affected by Chernobyl. They can't read and write. They're deformed. They have all kinds of medical problems, physical problems. And so about half of them are normal children, like Ala and Oksana. They were normal growing up in the orphanage because parents could not feed them. They couldn't take care of them. And so they put them in the orphanages. And so there they grew up. And so they've started in 3 different orphanages, Bible studies on a consistent basis every week. Now, I didn't tell them to do that. They did this all on their own. We have 5 in one orphanage that got saved last Friday. And the kids are doing a tremendous job. Ala writes in to me, and she's one of our workers, and she said, oh, I said, pray for our gypsy ministry. I said, really? Now the gypsies are moving in from Moldova, Romania, and this is moving into the Zatoma area. And so we had one lady saved last year. She's 23, had 5 children. Got saved, gave her heart to Jesus, and so I give her a Bible. And she give it back to me. I say to Allah, she interpreted. I said, why she give a Bible back to me? And she said, well, I don't read. She said, gypsies don't go to school. They don't read. They don't write. And I said, oh my. So Allah took it all on herself. She's teaching 2 families to read so they can read the Bible. Isn't that great? Amen. The other day, they call in and say, guess what? We had a 45-year-old man get saved. They said, big problem. He's a gypsy, and he has no hands, and he can't read. Oh, right. And so I put him in my class. So they're teaching him how to read. So there's another area that's a big ministry of winning gypsies to the Lord. You see, here's the thing. Think about it. So many of these people have been forgotten. They've just shoved off like the orphans, and everybody's forgotten. Who cares? They know they're bypassed. Nobody cares about them. Do you suppose Jesus cares about them? I thought he said somewhere in the Bible that one soul, does these gypsies have souls? Does these little children that's affected by the Chernobyl blast, do they have a soul? One soul is worth more than all the things in the world. So God just spoke to my heart about reaching the people that nobody else cares about. Is it worth it? Someday we're going to see a bunch of them in heaven because somebody cared. Somebody cared for their souls. Well, I got to quit. God bless you. I appreciate your prayers. Don't ever stop praying. And do what you can to help the afflicted by our missions. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the blessings you bestowed upon us. Oh God, we think about our children there in Ukraine. The rest of the world forgets. Shoves them off to the side. Nobody cares. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to never forget those that have been forgotten. Father, we pray today that you touch our hearts by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, we can't forget anybody. And Lord, you said that our life is just like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's a sin. So God, keep these things in our mind as we go out from here today, wherever we go, day by day. Lord, help us to realize that people are dying and going to hell. Nobody cares. Help us to have a caring heart. We'll thank you for it. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around, I wonder how many say, "Preacher, I'm glad I'm saved this morning." If you can say that honestly, would you slip your hand up all over the service? You're glad you're saved. Thank you for those hands. Maybe there's someone today that could not raise that hand. Maybe you're not a Christian. You've never been born again by the blood of Christ. I want to pray for you. Would you let me pray for you this morning? If you're not a Christian, if you're not really saved, you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven or not, would you let me pray for you? Could I see your hand if you're like that today? Is there one like that? Mama, daddy, boy, girl, didn't make a difference. You say, "I don't think I'm saved. Pray for me." Is there one like that? Anywhere, all over the service. Anywhere. I trust that everybody knows Christ this morning. Maybe there's a child of God today and God spoke to your heart this morning in some measure. God dealt with your soul. I wonder if you'd just like to slip the hand up and say, "Preacher, remember me in prayer. God spoke to me this morning. Would you pray for me?" Yes, I will. If you slip that hand up, thank you for that hand. I see that one and that one and that one. Anyone else, just slip the hand up and say, "Pray for me. I have a need in my heart and soul." Thank you. I see that one. Anybody else? Anyone else? Right quickly. Thank you. I see it, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Dear Lord, as we close our prayer today, we ask in the name of Jesus to speak to these hearts. Lord, help us to keep these verses in mind and help us to be faithful to you today. Forgive us in the past. And Lord, help us every day that we live to do something good to bring somebody to Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.